In your Bible, please, the book of Leviticus. And as you're turning to the third chapter, I will remind you that we continue our series of Christ in the Pentateuch. We have already been introduced to Christ in the book of Genesis and Exodus, and we have been looking at him revealed in the book of Leviticus, named after Levi, the third son of Jacob by Leah. The tribe of Levi is the tribe from which we have Moses and Aaron, the human provider of the law and protector and practitioner of the law, Aaron, the priesthood, and the tribe of Levi, doing those things which are mandated in order for one to worship the true and the living God, to have access into his presence. That's what the Levitical system is all about. It's a system of offerings, sacrifices, that God has provided in order that we might have, especially the Jews under the law, acceptable access to him. He has provided what was necessary in order to have access into his presence. A covering for sins. Atonement in our English Bible. It's the Hebrew word kafar, to cover over. And all of the unintentional sins of the people of Israel were covered by the Levitical system, by the system of offerings and sacrifices. Intentional sins, blatant disregard and continual disobedience, had no provision of mercy. Those who did those things intentionally that were opposed to what God had commanded were cut off. That manifested itself in discipline. They could not participate in the Levitical system. They were ostracized from the people of God. It could bring, as it often did, death, judgment. No mercy, justice. And so the Levitical system had limitations because it was conditioned. It had conditions attached to it. But we have seen, and will continue to see, that in his mercy and his grace, he is just and the justifier of all who believe in his provision, his Son, our Savior, who offered himself for our sins. We have mentioned there are four major offerings, sacrifices that we have in the book of Leviticus. The first being the burnt offering, and its emphasis is on the completeness of that sacrifice. Remember, the sacrifice was to be consumed by fire. Even the very ashes that were offered up on the altar were taken outside the camp. The emphasis on a completeness, a finality through the burnt offering. And we saw how our Lord, of course, brings the real finality. He offered himself up outside the camp, and thus by his sacrifice provides a perfect redemption, a purchasing us out from under the power and penalty of sin. This morning we come to the peace offering. There is also the sin offering and the trespass offering. But our attention this morning, chapter 3, and again in chapter 7. When his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, whether male or female, does not have to be a male, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. Remember, there are elements with regard to the Levitical system of sacrifices. It is a provision of the Lord. The Lord's provided this access. The sacrifice is to be a perfect sacrifice without blemish. It's to be a sacrifice offered up, not in a perfunctory way, but those who are participating do so personally. You laid your hand on the sacrifice. It was a provision of protection, atonement. There is now a covering over of the sin that separates us from a holy and righteous God. It was an offering of a sweet savor, pleasing to the Lord as that offering was consumed on the altar. The aroma was pleasing to him. The peace offering, either from male or female, from the herd, without blemish. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering, the personal identification, and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood around the altar. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering by fire to the Lord. The fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys, shall be removed. You're going to notice here, when you open up God's Word in dependency upon His Holy Spirit, one of the things which the Spirit of God wants you to pay attention to, He provides by redundance, repeating. You're going to see here in the peace offering and in all of the offerings an emphasis on the fat, because that, as we'll see this morning, was the tasty aroma offered up to the Lord. It was not to be partaken of by the congregation. The priesthood, as they offered it up, participated in that pleasing sacrifice to the Lord, the fat being consumed. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is on the wood. That's the completeness of the burnt sacrifice that is on the fire, as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord, pleasing. If his offering as a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord is of the flock, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offers a lamb as his offering, then he shall offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering, and kill it before the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron's son shall sprinkle its blood all around the altar. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering, as an offering made by fire to the Lord, its fat, and the whole fat tail, which he shall remove close to the backbone, and the fat that covers the entrails, and the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove. And the priest shall burn them on the altar as food and offering made by fire to the Lord. This is unto the Lord. And if his offering is a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on the head and kill it before the tabernacle of the meeting, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle his blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer it from his offering as an offering made by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, and the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove, and the priest shall burn them on the altar as food, that which is nurturing to God, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma pleasing to him. All the fat is the Lord's. And so it is that the peace offering is to be brought and offered up to the Lord. Chapter 7, verse 11. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings which he shall offer to the Lord. There are conditions especially identified in the peace offering. The law is conditional. The whole Levitical system is conditional. God gave the law through Moses to the people of God, and it was a conditional relationship that he was establishing. You obey, and I will bless you. Condition upon their obedience and their performance of doing that which was pleasing to the Lord. When it was disobedience, there was a price to pay. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offering which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. This peace offering can have attached to it an aspect of thanksgiving. Besides the cakes of his offering, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. And from it, he shall offer one cake from each offering as a heave offering to the Lord. This is offered up to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offering. The Levitical system was God's provision of acceptable access to himself. The most important participants in this access to him was the priesthood. They were uniquely placed to go between the people and God. That is why the priesthood was so important. God had placed it between himself and the people. They would be the practitioners of the law. And of the priesthood, the high priest was most significant and most important. That's why we see our Lord being a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, not Aaron. Didn't come through the tribe of Levi. He came through the tribe of Judah. He's a king, reigns supreme, but he's also a priest with no limitation, had no beginning, no end, as Melchizedek. And so now the offering, the peace offering, the priesthood benefits because they are there as a provision of go-between. There's only one mediator between God and man. That's who? Christ Jesus. But the priesthood was there under the conditional relationship that God established through the law. The flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering, verse 15, for thanksgiving, shall be eaten the same day it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. Conditional. Eat it. Eat it on the first day. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice. But on the next day, the remainder of it also may be eaten. We're giving you a little leeway here. Doesn't mention grace, but there's a little bit of leeway, grace here. It should be eaten on the day it's offered up. But if there's some remaining, you can eat it the next day. This is a voluntary offering, a vow. This is unto you, Lord. I will do your bidding. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice. But on the next day, the remainder of it also may be eaten. The remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day must be burned with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering is eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted. Nor shall it be imputed to him. It has no value. You're negating the purpose for which this offering is provided. How? Through disobedience. It shall be an abomination to him who offers it, and the person who eats it shall bear his guilt. No mercy. You have not accepted and obeyed the provision that is attached to the offering. The flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burned with fire. And as for the clean flesh, all who are clean may eat of it. But the person who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to the Lord, that which is to be offered up to him, the fat, all that is consumed by fire, while he is unclean, that person shall be cut off from his people. You see, the Levitical system provided mercy, but only for sins committed unintentionally. Blatant disobedience, no mercy, justice, cut off. Moreover, the person who touches any unclean thing, such as human uncleanness, an unclean animal, or any abominable unclean thing, and who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to the Lord, that person shall be cut off. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, you shall not eat any fat of ox or sheep or goat, and the fat of an animal that dies naturally, and the fat of what is torn by wild beasts may be used in any other way, but you shall by no means eat it. I'm glad I'm not under law. I like that fat on that steak. For whoever eats the fat of the animal of which men offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, the person who eats it shall be cut off. See, law is just. But under law, there are certain provisions which allow one to be having mercy given to him. Moreover, you shall not eat any blood in any of your dwellings, whether of bird or beast. Whoever eats any blood in person shall be cut off from his people. That's why you don't want to go to Bill's house if you want steak rare. You ain't going to get it. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, he who offers the sacrifice of his peace offering to the Lord shall bring his offering to the Lord from the sacrifice of his peace offering. His own hand shall bring the offering made by fire to the Lord. The fat with the breast he shall bring, that the breast may be waved as a wave offering. Offer it up. This is yours, Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat on the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons, a privileged go-between. Also the right thigh shall be given to the priest as a heave offering from the sacrifices of your peace offering. He among the sons of Aaron who offers the blood of a peace offering and the fat shall have the right thigh for his part. For the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering I have taken from the children of Israel from the sacrifices of their peace offering, and I have given them to Aaron, the priest, and his sons from the children of Israel by a statute forever. This was given, again, because of the importance of the priesthood, importance of the high priest, the go-between, between a sinful people and a holy God. Come on over to Isaiah chapter 9. The peace offering. Nevertheless, chapter 9 of Isaiah, nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her. You're going to suffer at the hands of an oppressor. If you look back at chapter 8, at verse 7, now therefore, behold, the Lord brings up over them the waters of the river, strong and mighty, the king of Assyria and all his glory. Assyria is going to invade. Assyria is going to be my means of bringing my people to their knees. He will go up over all his banks and go over all his banks. He will pass through Judah. He will overflow and pass over. He will reach up to the neck and the stretching out of his wings. He will fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. This is a people in a land where God would be with them. Emmanuel. God is with us. They're going to experience suffering, oppression. But within that bad news will come a message of good news. There will be deliverance. Nevertheless, the gloom, the Assyrians are coming, is bad news, will not be upon her with who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun in the land of Naphtali. God has graciously cared for you in the past. And afterward, more heavily oppressed her. But he is a righteous and just God. The bad news is, Assyria is coming. Oppression is coming. Doom is coming. And afterward, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness in the gloom and doom of this coming judgment have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shone. Out of this gloom and doom comes deliverance. Out of the bad news, good news. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden. You're going to deliver. And the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and the garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. There's going to be peace. The hostility is going to be gone. But here comes the message. Bad news. God is going to judge. Good news. He will deliver. He will do so as he always has, by sovereign infusion, he will make his presence aware. His power will be provided for deliverance supernaturally, for he is a supernatural God. That supernatural infusion is the virgin birth. For unto us a child is born. In the fullness of time, God brought forth through the seed of the woman one born under the law to redeem those under the law, that they might become the sons, the heirs of God. Bad news, judgment. Good news, deliverance. Unto us a son is given. The character of God reaches out, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, brought forth Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Shalom, Oneness, Harmony, Wholeness, Wellness, No More Hostility. Rest, peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. There is an eternal kingdom yet to be experienced. Before it, an earthly kingdom upon the throne of David, and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. This one who is the Prince of Peace, the Potentate who will rule in peace. But the earthly kingdom precedes the eternal kingdom. This must be done in accordance with justice. From that time forward, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Peace will be experienced. The Potentate of Peace will rule and reign. But before he presides in peace, he came to provide peace. Isaiah chapter 53. Before presiding as the Prince of Peace, he will suffer as the peace offering. He will suffer to provide peace. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, he the son. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Shall grow up before him the father as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, the son, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He comes to provide peace humbly. He must be humiliated before he sits in honor. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the judgment, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed, made whole, well. Goes on down through chapter 12, verse 12. Therefore I will divide him a portion of the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. He is the sacrifice, the peace offering. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and made intercession. The Levitical system was the provision of God for acceptable access to him. But it had limitations. There were provisions, conditions. But now, peace is provided through the peace offering. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And he, the Prince of Peace, will reign. But until then, he comes and is ruined. Humiliated. Why? He, the Father made, who knew no sin, sin for us, that we might be declared and become the righteousness of God, all things being set right before him. Went over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days, you remember the story of the old Negro pastor who said his favorite words in all of the Bible, where it came to pass. Said, that's because I know it didn't come to stay. It's going to get better. And it came to pass in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius was governing, the governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with his wife, his betrothed wife. In the betrothal time, when one made that commitment to become one together, they were immediately recognized in the economy of Israel as being husband and wife. Still betrothed, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. Significant firstborn. You remember in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, Joseph being warned by the angel not to fear taking Mary as his wife, because that which was conceived in her was of the Holy Spirit. And he took her as his wife, the betrothed one, and knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn. In Matthew's Gospel, again, chapter 12, Jesus is ministering, and they tell him, your brothers are outside with your mother waiting to see you. In the 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, the four brothers are named, and your sisters, the family into which he was born, was a family of at least four brothers, a couple of sisters, and he who is the infusion of Emmanuel, who was supernaturally brought forth, is part of this natural family. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I think I have mentioned to you before the inauguration of my acting career began in Luke chapter 2. Third grade. Back in third grade, Miss Rowley, who was the teacher, had a unique way of setting up the classroom. Five rows. The last row was designated for the bad boys. I never made it to that fifth row. My desk was beside her desk. Thus, when it came to the third grade pageant of the birth of Christ, I was given the role of, there ain't no room in the inn, because it was good casting. No room. Now they're in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them. They were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Good news! Which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a deliverer, a savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And Lord willing, next week we'll continue to see Christ revealed in the book of Leviticus, in the Leviticus system, as the peace offering. Oneness. Harmony. Wholeness. It is well with our souls. Thank you, Father, for these moments together this morning, to once again see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ revealed in your word as the peace offering for which we will and are eternally grateful. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen.